And it's the kind of news day in which the president, once demanding a loyalty oath from the FBI director he fired, is no longer top news. On Twitter this morning, President Trump wrote, "James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press." The president was referring to his claim that Comey told him he wasn't under investigation. Some are saying that tweet could be witness intimidation. Comey's been invited to hearings next week.
Let's bring in our Friday roundtable. Joining us, Juana Summers, CNN Politics editor. Hi, Juana.
Hi there.
And Ron Elving, NPR Senior Washington Editor and Correspondent. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you.
And let me start with you, Juana. I think there's a big question of why is the White House handling this Comey firing this way? The president does have the ability and the authority to fire the FBI director, but why change the story about why it was done? Why have a meeting the day after the firing with the Russian foreign minister in the Oval Office? And why meet with Henry Kissinger when everybody is making Watergate comparisons?
In addition, why make a reference to tapes?
Right.
If I could answer all of those questions, you guys, I would be a very, very rich woman. But look, I think the bottom line is that the responsibility for all of this falls at President Trump's feet, right? He is the person going out and sending these directives. He is the person who on Twitter today suggests that Comey should hope that there are no tapes of the conversations, drawing, of course, comparisons to President Richard Nixon. I think this shows just how much of a prime driver this president is. He completely goes around his own staff to even send these messages out to the American people using Twitter. And so I think to get the real answers to any of those questions, frankly, you'd have to ask him.
But Ron, to that tweet, is that witness intimidation? Is that something more than it's threatening, but is it something more?
It is threatening in the sense that he is clearly saying that if James Comey should be sharing information with anyone, just perhaps having some anonymous phone calls with reporters, because after all, there were only a couple of people who could report on that conversation. If that's happening, and obviously the president thinks that it is, then, the former FBI director should be careful because there might be, quote, tapes, unquote. Now, what does it mean to put the word tapes in quotes? That's strange. It calls attention to it in perhaps a somewhat oblique way. But the point is, the president is saying that my version of what happened in that conversation is different from yours, and I might have proof that my version is correct, and you better hope I don't. It's almost on a schoolyard level.
Well,
of threat.
Talk about how analysts are weighing in on this with the thinking of, would this have happened? I mean, would an FBI director tell a president that he wasn't under investigation?
That is a good question because, generally speaking, we have been told that would not happen. There are perhaps ways that the conversation could have resulted in that impression in the president's mind. For example, he could have said, all right, you're investigating some of my associates and their possible contacts to Russians, but that's where the investigation is going right now. And perhaps Comey could have said yes to that, and then the president could have said, well, I'm not one of my associates, and I didn't have those contacts with the Russians. Therefore, that means he's not investigating me personally.
Well, and the conversation that's been happening all week, and it seems like it's getting louder and louder, is there's got to be a special prosecutor to look into this. It can't go the normal way. Juana, is that likely at this point? Because Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, seems to indicate that he doesn't want to go that route.
It doesn't seem likely for exactly that reason, Jeremy. You're not hearing Republicans really come on board. This has almost been, at least in the halls of Capitol Hill, really split down partisan lines. A lot of Democrats, of course, eager to see that happen. But the odds of that happening when Donald Trump and the Republican Party have control of both the House and Senate, I don't see that being very likely unless this continues to drip, 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 or there's something else huge that happens that would cause Republicans to come on board.
Well, without that, Ron, how do you get to the bottom of what really happened with Russia and maybe members of the Trump team?
You have a couple of possibilities. One is the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is chaired by Richard Burr of North Carolina, Republican, of course, because all the chairs are Republicans in this Senate, and also has, as its ranking member, Mark Warner of Virginia, a very aggressive Democrat, and they seem to have been making some progress. They are subpoenaing people. They are actually doing things. Now, whether or not they would be as independent as, say, the the Senate Investigating Committee back in 1973 that investigated Watergate that was entirely independent of any of the regular committee structure and was almost essentially equally chaired by a Republican, Howard Baker, and a Democrat, Sam Ervin. That committee had a great deal of credibility right from the very beginning. It showed a great deal of integrity. It got to the tapes issue with Richard Nixon, and that's how Watergate turned into the resignation of Richard Nixon. Now, obviously, the Republicans don't want to see that happen again. They hope to contain all of this within the Senate Intelligence Committee, but that committee is moving forward, and that, at this point, is probably our best hope to get to the bottom.
Well, let's hear a little bit from the chair. We know that NBC News released more of Lester Holt's interview with the president. In part of that interview, he called James Comey a showboat. And asked about that, Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Republican Richard Burr, who you've been discussing, disagreed.
I found him to be one of the most ethical, upright, straightforward individuals I've had the opportunity to work with. He provided our committee more access to information than any director of the FBI.
So there's that, and also in testimony this week, the standing head of the FBI said the same thing, disagreed with Donald Trump's assessment of the FBI as something in disarray. This president is lashing out. How does he appear? How does he appear on the world stage? How does he appear?
I think that's a really good question. I think the biggest takeaway I have as I'm following the president's actions and both public and private comments is that this White House no longer has the presumption of truthfulness. There has been so much doubt cast on President Trump's version of events when it comes to former Director Comey there have been comments about the fact that, instead of just kind of following the proper channels on this, he takes to Twitter to, again, kind of pour salt in the wound, for lack of a better word, of a situation that's already garnering a lot of attention and skepticism. So I do think there are some concerns from both Republicans and Democrats as to how not just this White House appears, but how this will play in the world. I do think, to your point from playing that clip from Comey earlier, I think that one thing we are very likely to see is there's going to be some dramatically ratcheted up pressure for former Director Comey to testify before Congress and clear his name to rebut the president's version of events, because if not, this man who is a storied Washington type who has been in law enforcement for a long time, this could really, really destroy his legacy. So I'll be curious to see if he accepts the invitation he's been given to address the Senate Intelligence Committee on Tuesday.
As we spend almost our entire roundtable talking about Comey and the firing of Comey, I want to just remind people that it was just over a week ago that the House passed that healthcare bill, which was the talk of Washington at the time. Now, the members of Congress who voted for it are getting an earful from their constituents. Let's listen here to what happened to New Jersey Republican Tom MacArthur at a town hall.
I am watching an insurance market that is collapsing. And here's why it's collapsing.
Because you drill holes in it, they say. Ron, has just all the oxygen been sucked out of the room by the Comey stuff? And what's happening with healthcare? Is it likely that the Senate is going to be able to put something together?
The oxygen's been sucked out in Washington by the Comey matter, but not in the country. In the country, people are much more concerned about what's going to happen to their health care. And that is bringing people out to these town halls. And Tom MacArthur is uniquely responsible for what just happened in the House, because he sat down with the hardcore conservatives. Now, he is actually a co-chair of the more moderate group, the Tuesday group. He sat down with the corresponding leaders of the House Freedom Caucus and negotiated changes to the bill they couldn't even get a vote on back in March, the American Health Care Act that Paul Ryan was pushing, the Speaker of the House. And he negotiated these changes to make the thing a little more palatable to the House Freedom Caucus, to the hardcore, to say, look, the states can opt out. If we require all these benefits to be part of everybody's insurance package, and by the way, that includes, things like maternity care, mental health, and so on. If we require that basic package, we'll still let the states opt out of that. And pre-existing conditions, well, if the states want to opt out and put together some kind of high-risk health care pool, that's fine, even if those haven't worked in the past. That's fine. We'll let the states do that. Well, that made the House Freedom Caucus happy because they like the idea of the states having that freedom to opt out. Well, on the basis of that, they got enough votes, and then they twisted a few arms and got a bunch of California Republicans to come on at the last second and pass the thing with one vote to spare. Now when you get out into the country, you find out people have a lot of questions about that. They're very sensitive to it, and they're afraid in some cases that their state might be one of the ones that opted out of that coverage protection.
Well, we're seeing that, Ron, but Juana, I'm wondering, is everyone having those concerns? There doesn't seem to be a breach in the wall of support from Trump voters. I mean, how do you read his support across the country now?
I think that one of the things we're likely to see is that members, as they go back to their districts for these congressional recesses, are having to kind of figure out how to grapple with this vote and things of that nature. The bill that passed in the House before lawmakers headed home doesn't have great odds in the Senate, and so I think the onus then is on the Senate to find something that they can bring back to their lawmakers that they can stomach, not just from Republicans but for a broad swath of lawmakers.
That's Juana Summers, CNN politics editor, and Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. I think as we've been talking, we haven't gotten any new tweets from President Trump, but we'll keep an eye out. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.